In the summer of 1999, I met a girl. And I had dated other girls before, but this one was different. I had trouble sleeping at night, and yet I woke up pumped and energized for the day. I was in university at the time. My grades started taking a nosedive. And I didn't really even care, to be honest. This girl started to show some of these same signs back toward me. So I took a risk, and I made her a mixtape. Do you know the mixtape? Some of you are too young. If you're younger than maybe 40, 35, I don't know. You don't know what this is. But this was a beautiful thing from the olden days. A mixtape was really a collection of songs that you would record on this weird-looking thing behind me. Not unlike a playlist on iTunes, but so much better. We would listen to the radio, if you remember this. The announcer or the DJ would start to announce a song, and he would say, a special song is coming up. In just a moment, you're going to hear from, and you'd get pumped, because this was your jam. So you'd get out your ghetto blaster. That was a massive thing to play music on. And you'd get ready to hit record at that moment that the DJ quit talking and the song started. And then you would listen to the song, waiting for the moment that you needed to press stop before the DJ started talking again. Right? How many of you know what this was like? Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful days. A lot of work, significance, and meaning went into the mixtape. And the mixtape had this content that started to become a little like the soundtrack to your life. You'd listen over and over and over to it. And so this girl I was falling in love with, I wanted to give her this tape. And so I gave her a tape, a mixtape. It was entitled Enjoy. I cut out the letters out of a magazine and pasted it all on. Do you know what a magazine is? Yeah. And thankfully, she reciprocated and gave me also a mixtape as well. I was so pumped. And these songs she chose to include in the mix were important because they were saying something about her likes and dislikes, what songs she enjoyed. They were also saying something from within, something about her heart toward me, something she maybe wanted to say that maybe she couldn't in words. And they also pointed toward a possible future reality. I think hers was called Perfect Possibilities. Things were going well. That girl happened to be Melissa, who some of you know. She's our pastor of family ministries, so the mixtape worked. We're stepping into a new summer series, a sermon series entitled Summer Playlist, looking at the top 10 songs from Jesus' songbook. And these were essentially Jesus' mixtape. They were his favorite songs. They were a collection of songs that spoke to joy and heartache, and pain, and brokenness, and hopefulness for the future. And we're going to be listening in on this mixtape this summer together. And my hope is that this series, these Psalms, would become a part of your soundtrack to your life. That the Psalms and the emotions and the feelings expressed there would say something about how you feel back toward God and about your life. So we'll see this summer that God has given us a playlist that encompasses the full range of human emotion. Everything that we experience and go through, we can find in the Psalms. And my hope for you and for me is really that we would press play this summer. Today we're looking at Psalm 1, and this psalm is described as the gateway to all 150 Psalms. It would be like that first song on the mixtape that kind of sets the stage for what's coming next. And in Psalm 1, we're looking at whether we're going to follow God or go a different path. It gives us a picture of the ideal way offered to us, but also warns us of the pain of a path that is not toward Him. And so with Psalm 1 is this gateway to the entire album. So I want to ask you, if you would, to please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 1. We've just sung it, but I want you to hear it again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, our prayer today is that You would meet us in these next few moments as we sit under Your Word. May Your Holy Spirit come and fill us with Your presence and give us wisdom and an openness to hear what it is You want to say to each and every single one of us this morning. Give me Your words for Your people. And may the end of this sermon bring joy to those who hear, not because of what I've said, but because we have been in Your presence, because we have seen ourselves in the Psalms. We open ourselves to You, Jesus. Amen. You can grab a seat. We see from this passage that we're offered two ways of living and the consequences of the choice that we make. Blessing for the wise and the righteous, and destruction and scattering like chaff for those who don't. We hear some hard words in this passage. Words like wicked and sinners and judgment and destruction. And I'm sure when I say those words, different feelings come up for you. I know they do for me. But in contrast to that, we also hear words like prosper and delight and blessing and righteous, words that are opposite. And I think this text could be difficult for us in our current culture. We don't really like black and white, right or wrong, or this way or that way, do we? Our postmodern, post-truth, post-Christian world doesn't really like dichotomies. We prefer a range. But I think if we're to take the Word of God seriously, there's really offered to us two paths. So I want to stay true to that this morning. So we're going to be looking at the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. Let's first start with the way of the wicked. I think it'd be easy for many of us here this morning to think of the way of the wicked as someone else. Maybe your noisy neighbor or your crass colleague or the drug dealer in the alley. But as one theologian says, this passage is not an indictment against wicked people. It's an indictment to find Christians in the pew. Meaning this, that we can quickly look at other people we consider wicked and not look at ourselves. But we are all prone to wickedness. Every single one of us, myself included. And the difficulty for many of us is that the way of the wicked is like this slow descent into sin. We see this progression in the text from walking to standing to sitting. It's this progression toward comfort. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. We see this movement toward comfort, from effort to relaxation. From walking to standing to sitting is getting comfortable. I've signed up for a 23K trail race this summer. And I actually signed up last November. I was sitting at my computer at 7 a.m. when race registration opened because it's a popular race. I logged in And as soon as 7 o'clock hit, I entered the website, went for it, and found my name entered into this race. I was pumped. I was really, really excited. I started to daydream about what is that day going to be like when I head to the start line and start this great race. So I created a training plan. I was going to run 3 to 4 times a week. I was going to slowly increase my distance and ideally increase my speed. So I started training. The first month was amazing. Out 3 times, early on weekends, I was loving it. But remember, this was November. The rain started coming. Days got shorter and shorter. It got colder and colder. And the race, I told myself, well, it wasn't for 9 months. I'll be fine. And so my movement slowed. I went from running to standing to sitting on the couch, feet up, literally. It was never my intention to start sitting on the couch. My intention, my desire was to run, to work hard, to get in shape, to enjoy these runs and head toward this race that was coming up. But I'd become comfortable. It was frankly easier to sit and watch TV than hit the trail on a rainy day. And now, the run is in just over a month, and I find myself a little behind. I don't feel like I'm physically flourishing these days like I had hoped. When I chose the couch over the trail, there were consequences. And yesterday, that came very true to me. As I was running up a long hill on the North Shore, my lungs felt like they were about to blow up. My legs were searing with pain. And I thought, why on earth did I choose the couch instead of the trail? What I had hoped would be these runs of freedom and joy were just the pain cave for me. The way of wickedness is often, I think, not intentional in our lives. Many of us here this morning don't think, there's the way of the wicked, and I'm heading that direction. Sometimes, but often not. Often we think, no, I want to go the way of the righteous. I want to follow God. But it's this slow progression from standing to, or from walking to standing to sitting. It starts with tiny decisions. You think about that download on your phone of this game. It's highly addictive, and you start using it constantly. Or maybe you will stay up way too late watching movies on Netflix, knowing that it's going to be tough to get up the next morning and do what you had intended, maybe to read the Word and spend time with God. Or you linger on that image on the computer a little longer than you thought. Or maybe you skip tithing for a while. You just need to get ahead. I know God has asked me to do this, but I just need to put a bit of money in the bank or save up for that thing that I want. We think it's a one-time decision, but it's like cracking open the door, and then slowly we push that door open and we start walking down the hallway. And pretty quick we wake up and we look back and realize we have walked a long way down the hall. I have a friend who downloaded a game on their phone the other day, and their intention was noble. Their kids play this game and they thought, you know what? I want to get to know what this game is like. I'll have something to be able to share with my kids. And so they started playing. And my friend sheepishly told me how he was consumed with playing this silly matching game to give him rewards to decorate his virtual mansion. Some of you are feeling guilty right now. This grown man with a thriving professional career was being bedazzled by the bejewels of a virtual kingdom. And within a few weeks, he realized that he was choosing the game over actually spending any time with his kids. What he set out to do to actually spend time with his kids was taking him further up away. And so he chose relationship, right relationship, over this game and deleted it off his phone. When you look at your life this morning, if you really think about your life, where are you choosing something lesser? Where are you choosing a path that takes you away from God? Where have you intentionally, or maybe even unintentionally, turned your back on God's good invitation to you? To use the language of the psalm, where have you taken the way of the wicked? The psalmist describes this chaff, which really chaff is this scaly protective coating on a cereal grain that's ingestible to humans. And so we can't use that chaff. It's really not good for much. And so in ancient Near Eastern times, they would pick the grains, they would dry them out, they would put them in a container, and on a windy day, they would shake them up, throw them up in the air, and the wind would catch the chaff and blow it away. And what was good, the cereal grain would fall back down into the container and they would be able to use it. It would sustain life. And the wicked person is really the chaff. The psalmist says, the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And the heart of wickedness really is self-destruction. We have a choice to be tossed away like chaff or not. But our choices have consequences. Psalm 1 believes in choice. It believes that there is a key choice that is enormously important. In fact, it's the most basic decision we have to make in life. It's pretty straightforward. Choose this path or this path. Will we choose our way or God's way? The way of the wicked or the way of the righteous? In verse 2 and following, we read, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? We're given the opportunity to be just like a tree that produces an abundance of fruit in season, whose leaves never wither and fall off. This tree is always well fed, growing and thriving. As some of you might know, our family participated in a 10th justice journey this past spring break, and we headed down to the Baja of Mexico to a place called Rancho El Camino. And Rancho El Camino sits on the outskirts of La Paz, and it really is there to work with and love and care for the impoverished barrios which cling to the hillside. But what's interesting is Rancho El Camino hasn't always existed. There was a man who was a follower of Christ who lived out in the Baja Desert, and he started to feel like God was asking him to give away his big parcel of land to this mission organization. So he wrestled with it, but he came to a point where he said, okay, I will do it. And so he offered his land to this mission organization. They went out and looked at the land and they went, I don't know if we want this. Look at it. It's dry. It's dusty. There's not much here. It's hard to support life except for cacti and some tumbleweeds. But they started to sense that God was saying, take the land. So they took it. Within a short time of taking the land, an earthquake hit the Baja, and this dry, dusty land became something totally different. A crack opened up on their property and started pouring forth fresh, clear water. It now supports a small community, livestock, an organic garden, and supports all of the programs for these poor and impoverished families. This is a picture right behind the main house on Rancho El Camino. Water in the dry desert. And while we were there, my wife Melissa and I hiked up one of the bluffs to overlook the property. And what's amazing, I don't know if you can see it from this picture or not, but Rancho El Camino is flourishing and green in the middle of the desert. I think we have a picture, the next picture. You can see a perfect outline of Rancho El Camino there in this brown desert landscape. And this really is a picture of what the psalmist is describing. In a dry and dusty world, parched and thirsty, we are invited to be like a tree planted by streams of living water that flourish and grow and are abundant. And the psalmist makes it pretty easy for us by telling us exactly how to be like this tree planted by the water. They say this, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." For the psalmist, delighting and meditating on the law is referring to the first five books of the Bible, or the Torah. These books describe the beginning of human life and flourishing and decisions that were made that took God's people away from his best. And we're looking this summer at the Psalms, which are interestingly broken up also into five books. Books that tell us how to live, that help give a picture of our emotional life and our headspace back to God. Where are we? These five books in the Psalms are our human and emotional response to a loving God. The Psalms take into account the full range of human emotion, making it not just okay, but in fact expected to share our emotional life with God. This is a part of the righteous path. We come to God not only with our head, but also with our heart. There's no separation. And Psalm 1 calls us to meditate on his law, on his word. We're invited to immerse ourselves in this good book, to practice meditating on God's law, that it would get deep within us and help to shape us. As Eugene Peterson says, reading is an immense gift, but only if the words are assimilated, taken into our soul, eaten, gnawed on, received, chewed in unhurried delight. When we read this way, something miraculous happens. When we meditate on God's law and it gets in us, it is like a crack opening up on barren, dry land and water pouring forth and helping us to flourish and grow. And as our roots grow deep, when we make this choice, choosing to live the righteous life, not only is the way more clear for us when we have a choice, but we actually start to desire to make the right choice, not to take the path of the wicked. To delight and meditate on the law is where the power of the righteous person is found. Delighting and meditating on God's law anchors us deeply in his love, which helps us to flourish and produce great fruit. Like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. And this prospering doesn't mean that we never struggle. It doesn't mean, like I think our culture would tell us, that we have a better car every year or a bigger house or more money in our bank, but rather prospering looks like the fruit of the Spirit. We are more loving, more joyful. We're filled with peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I want to close with a story that contrasts the choice of being like a tree planted by a stream of water or being like the chaff that's blown away. Recently, I was hanging out with two siblings. They grew up in the same household, same parents, and yet as I was chatting with them, I couldn't help but see that they were making very different choices from one another. As we were catching up, I noticed something. You could see that the choices these two were making were vastly different, and it was affecting their life. The one brother seemed to be flourishing in his life. There seemed to be a deep relationship with Jesus. This guy was making decisions to get up in the morning and to read God's word, and not only to read it, but to open himself and to let the word come deeply into him and to be changed by it. He described in his life often withdrawing to pray and meditate on God's law. And there had been plenty of painful things in this one sibling's life. There had been death in the family. There had been disappointments. There had been zigzags in their career path. And frankly, they had never made a whole lot of money. But as I chatted with them, I could see that there was this flourishing, this joy, and this peace that was coming out of him. And as I chatted with his sister, I noticed something different. I think from the outside, everyone would say she lived a blessed life. She had an amazing job. She had climbed the ladder in her company. She had made a good deal of money. Her family was beautiful. They lived in an executive home. But I've seen this friend of mine over the years start to wither away. And as I was chatting with them, they described that they had quit attending church. They started to feel like, I don't know if this word really impacts my life or if I really believe it anymore. They had started to explore different faiths, different religions. And when I was chatting with her, I couldn't help but feel that she was withering away. She'd become kind of a dry, scaly picture of her former self. And while life has a way, I think, of beating many of us up through divorces, through death, through our unrealized dreams, God offers us a choice. In all of the pain and brokenness of life, we are offered a choice to take the way of the wicked or to take the way of the righteous. The Psalms are there to help us express the full range of our human emotion back to God. And this happens through meditating and delighting in His Word. We see ourselves. What are you feeling today? Whatever that emotion is that wells up within you, God wants to know that. You think God has been unfair in your life? He wants to hear from you. Do you feel like you have been wronged in some way? Do you know there's a psalm for that? Do you feel like pain is washing over you and it's hard to get up in the morning? There's a psalm for that too. If you feel unloved, not good enough, unappreciated, unseen, confused, or if you feel joyful and hopeful for the future, there's a psalm for every single one of those things. You can find yourself in the Psalms by meditating and delighting in it. This is really what it means to meditate and delight on the Word of God, that we bring ourselves, head and heart, to the text and open ourselves to Him and say, Lord, this is where I'm at. Speak to me as I read this Word. Fill me with Your Spirit and do something new in me. And this really is the crux that we're describing, that this text is describing, is the future destiny for every single one of us. Not only our life today, but our life in the future. Will we choose the righteous life, this right relationship with God, or will we choose the way of the wicked, which is separation from God ultimately? The invitation is open to every single one of us this morning. Do you want to live the righteous life and experience God's blessing? You can choose the way of the righteous. Now, I'm aware that some of us right now might feel ashamed because we frankly don't really want God's law. We don't really feel compelled to meditate on His Word. We feel, frankly, like we could probably set aside the Bible for a while. I've felt that before. And if you feel that way, it's okay. Because God wants to do this in you. It isn't you who makes a righteous life. It is God in you who makes a righteous life. The truth is, this is God's work. He wants your heart. He wants your head. He knows you can't do this alone. but he promises to come alongside you through the power of his Spirit to work in you and make a change if you would let him. As we close today, I want you, if you are open to it, in the silence that I give you in just a moment, to tell God how you feel this morning, how you feel toward his word and to what he is inviting you to. And then if you would, in the silence, to say, God, I want to want you more. Give me a passion for your word that I might meditate and even delight in it. Would you close your eyes? And if that expresses your desire that you want more of God through his word, would you just open your hands in a posture of reception? And with your eyes closed, in this moment of silence, I want you simply to say what's on your heart. Tell God how you feel, and tell him that you want him more. Jesus, we can't create this desire for your word ourselves. We need you to inspire us by the power of your Holy Spirit to give us what we cannot give ourselves. We confess that our love for you is so small. So increase our love for you and give us a desire for your word that as we crack it open and as we read from it, Lord, and we start to chew on it and meditate on it in our hearts, God, that you would do a new work in us, that you would water our souls today, that we would be like this tree flourishing in the middle of the desert. Help us to choose the way of righteousness by your grace and your power. We pray this in your name. Amen.